Saturday morning, it is something for the weekend. And on the line, we have got the award-winning interior designer, Natasha Rocca Devine. Good morning, Natasha. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
You've got to be one of the Rocca family, are you?
I am. I'm a Rocca. I don't want to say anything bad, but I don't want to be biased, but I think we're great. I think we're known. So, you know, when someone
we're deadly.
Asks your family, we're deadly, as they say in Dublin. So I'm happy to say it.
So are you Michelle's daughter then?
I am, yeah.
Fabulous. And your dad is John as well. So yeah. Obviously there is design in your blood, basically. So there was no getting away from this.
Absolutely. Obviously my great-granddad, Egidio, came from Italy. And I don't want to say it was the first, because you can get into trouble, but one of the first kind of mosaic and plasterers and tilers in Ireland. Mm. He came over and my granddad restored the forecourts after the Civil War and things like that. So yeah, amazing stories, like, you know, built charcoal for the army's cars during the war, like in Ireland, and just such interesting story. But obviously it led to Rocca Tiles, and then my family are all involved in property indirectly or directly. So yeah. It was around me, you know, the way people say if you're around acting, if you're around music, or if your parents are teachers, you know, naturally it kind of just was absorbed by it. And then I also loved writing, and obviously my mom's an amazing writer, and I studied journalism as well. So I've just always combined the two. I like design, but also the communication of it.
Yes.
You know, whether it's on radio or through editorials, and obviously now my book. So
yeah,
I think it's a great way, you know, it's inclusive, you know.
Well,
you
good job we gave it a call then to get you on the radio.
Exactly.
Sometimes I think when people are from a well-known family, they hate it. They're like, oh, but I think in your line of work, this is good.
You know, I mean, Ireland's so small, everyone's family are known. That's what I always say to people. You know, like, you're all known, like, especially the more kind of rural you go.
Yeah.
I think everyone's families are known. So it's just kind of a doubled up on that. But I think it depends on your day. You know, sometimes you just want to get on with things, and it's how you approach things. You know, I always studied and did my own things, and my friends like me for me. And, you know, I think it's all about that. It's about how you handle your life, regardless of who your family is. I think that's really important. So my family are very hardworking and just kind of get on with things type of people. So it never really got, we never got caught up in anything. So for me, it's just kind of, it is what it is. But obviously it's affected me in terms of my family are very creative and entrepreneurial. So it's definitely, you know, the risk-taking side of it.
You know,
setting up your own business and stuff is definitely in me.
But you know what's also great as well, Natasha? You must always have a contact in your phone for a good old tiler, and they're hard to come across. So
they're really hard to come across. You know what? They really are. Like,
such a
even
skill.
Now, like, my Granda Paddy, I can't call him anymore. He's 94, I think, now. Amazing man, still building bird cages, and like, he built birds since my grandma passed. He had a hobby, and then he has this, like, he's built hundreds for people all around the world. Like, he's so talented, he's such a craftsman. But you know, like, he would have done things. And my uncle Bernard is an incredible, he owns Rocca Stone and Marble, it's still out now, an amazing shop. But it is, it's one of those really kind of ornate things, you know, where it's really hard to get someone to do it really well.
How are they fixed, you know, to do an ensuite now? You're 93 year old
for this one. I don't know if Paddy has the energy, but we'll see. It depends on the size.
So listen, you're launching your book next week. Tell me the name of this and all about it.
The step, I better get this right.
Step
guide to designing and styling your home. So it says what it is. Very straightforward. Yeah, so I wrote it during maternity. I was back and forth to London because my partner had to do some work there. And I had a lot, I don't know if you know, anyone who's got kids, you have a lot of time, but at unusual times, you know, during naps and things like that. So I just grabbed the moment. I've always wanted to kind of gather all my thoughts, and everyone's always asked me, you know, simple things like how to do mood boards, what should I ask like a builder, how to read a plan, you know, all of the questions I've always been asked, and all the mistakes I've made, and then all the things that I love, which is the most important part. Like, I love journaling. So essentially I've amalgamated everything I've learned through my own experience and mistakes, and all the questions I've been asked, and put together basically a guide that can literally help you become your own designer, really. Kind of, like, it goes into, you know, different types of design and styling, or preparing for rentals. Then it moves into the technicals, project management, floor plans, and then obviously each chapter has a journal element, and then we move into a room to room guide, and then it has a floor plan element, and then, like, fun little things like quizzes and just some, like, nice little tips and tricks in there as well. So I think it's a really helpful guide. We're in a housing crisis, joking aside about all of, like, anything else, the creative side, we're in a really tricky time in Ireland. And I think it's really important to not give up. You know, like, you should have a lovely house, and it doesn't need to break the bank. And I hope this book can bring that out in you, and it can help, it can provide very helpful ways and easy tips and tricks that can, you know, you can do that room up. You don't have to wait, you know, for a couple of years.
You can really do something special, can't you, if you have that eye then for getting the interiors right and everything. When you look back at photographs, I know certainly from my childhood in the 80s, the state of the house, I mean,
nobody put money into their house, did they?
They just left them.
But the 80s were the 80s. Like, every era has its time. You know, it's funny how you look. But I do think it's very different now. I do agree. Like, it's
carpet
kind of
in the bathroom, Natasha. There was no rocket tiles going on in the bathroom. It was carpet.
Carpet in the bathroom would be lovely. It's so beautiful. Cozy. Yeah, I don't
know. Oh, God. Imagine this, the germs.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, no, no. I prefer tiles myself. But it's all just any of us, the way you, like, you're incredible at what you do. It's just kind of asking the basics. I want this book to give people confidence to, like, to talk to a builder to get that mood boards going. It's just this, like, really kind of a Kickstarter. That's what I want it to be. Like, there's more expansive books and more detail, but this is a really fun and practical way to help you get started. And I think it's a really good time. Like, I obviously didn't know at that time the way things would be, but obviously it's quite sad. There's a lot of challenges for people, for students and people trying to rent, and you know, it's a really tricky time in Ireland, which really upsets me, and homelessness really, like, breaks my heart. So obviously anyone who has a large house or small house, or can just, like, you know, lift their mood, I genuinely believe that your house or your home is so important for your mental health.
It is, and you need to be able to walk in that door, close the door behind you, and actually be glad to be home and to 100%. Enjoy the space that you have. Like, I've talked about this before on the show before, about, you know, when you declutter and the good feeling that gives you, and, you know, having space to see what you have. And it's almost like that Marie Kondo thing, kind of, you know, really loving, sparking joy with the stuff. Like, I walk into people's homes and I'm like, oh my God, your house is incredible. And it's not even that their house is, like, you know, like a really expensive house or anything. It's just that they have it lovely.
Yeah, and my sister and I are going to start professional organising. So kind of Smile Sisters are going to be doing a bit of that going forward, because I do think we both love it, and we both, there's a spiritual and kind of feng shui side to it, like you say, the mental health side. So Danielle and I are going to do some work on that as well.
So you're super organised then at home, are you?
You know, I am, but I have a toddler who's challenging that. And she is very curious. She is absolutely amazing child. So, like, you don't want to stop her, because she's a very curious child. Like, there's different personalities, but she's really curious. She opens everything. She needs to understand everything. So I don't want to stop that on her, but it triggers me. It really does.
I, like, love that. Massively. I love when you've just done a big pile of ironing and they decide to pull it apart. It's great crack.
Oh, my God. And, you know, Walkies, they're so cute, because I have two dogs as well. So the three of them are running around. We call them the three musketeers, are destroying everything. So...
Obviously, have you got hairy, like, dogs like I have, Natasha? One's the shed.
One of them is. Yeah, one of them is. Shih Tzu.
Because that would just break
the,
your heart, like, wouldn't it?
100%. But you know what? Like, children are, like, that's what they do. And she's absolutely amazing. And obviously pets too. But to be honest, part of all of this genuinely is, like, real life as well. Anyone who's got a family or kids, or even even if you live alone and you're single, you've got people visiting, it gets messy. You have to live. Like, I'm very much about that in all of my design. You have to have a place that you can live and relax and chill out. Like, it can't be totally stuffy. So I do find that I like to be organized, but I also am giving myself kind of a window of a couple of years with Freya, my daughter, you know, just to, like, live it up, because this is her time. You know,
we won't knock at the door looking for an off the cuff photo shoot and just spring it upon you. We'll give you time to tidy up.
Yeah, great. Give me like 5 hours.
Well, that's good going. I need about a week to get mine in order. So come here, you were living in America for a good while there as well. Were you working in property over there? Because all the shows on Netflix and all are so huge now, aren't they? All the Selling Sunsets and all that.
Yeah. So I hadn't seen it when I'd launched Candles the Secret Garden with Labuji during lockdown, because obviously everything stopped for me here, and it was a passion project. And obviously I did a lot of interviews, and everyone kept asking me about Selling Sunset and different shows. So obviously I've watched, like, not too much. I think I've watched one of the episodes. And obviously, like I said this in an interview recently, there are, like, teams like this, you know, where people are glammed up and it's very sassy and kind of that style. But I worked in Compass Real Estate, which is it's more reserved. It's like it reminds me of an Irish office. Like, you know, you have to be presentable and everything, like any job, you know, if you're meeting clients and selling a house. But it was very much on the conservative side. But I would say, and I have said this, the competitiveness is there. Like, even in the office I worked in, like, it's intense. Wow. It's very, very, very competitive. Like, you would see people screaming, other, and like, it's really full on. And then like, you're doing open houses, which means that like, people come and see it on a Sunday, and then sometimes they have a private one on a Tuesday. You know, there's a lot of quirky people that come along. Like, it's really fun, but there's parties. Like, we did Taco Tuesday, and you get a taco truck. Like, you don't just get tacos.
This kind of sounds a bit like Selling Sunset, the things that they do to get people. Wealthy people you're trying to get into view to convince them to buy?
And then a lot of people, which is hilarious, I don't know if this would work in Ireland, but those people just go and get all the free food and order them. You know, they just go around
time
for the
wasters.
Day. Yeah, they just go around for the day. So you have to kind of have a system. It is like that. Like, you have to be presentable. Like, I would have worn like what you'd wear here, like a shirt or, you know, a dress and professional. But, you know, you can't go in looking hungover or wrecked. Like, you have to be presentable, which is fair enough, but ours was not on that level. But the competitiveness and the parties and stuff, definitely on a much smaller scale. But I have heard that they rent like actors and dog actors, and you know, I didn't necessarily go to those parties, but it's there 100%.
Sorry, like, dog actors?
Yeah, like, because they can perform, they can go in the pool and like jump in and do like acrobatics and stuff.
To give an image of what your life would be like.
Oh my God, imagine.
It's like the bread cooking in the oven, up a million scales.
Oh my God, a million scales. But like, there's definitely, I saw like glimpses of it. And obviously I was in state agents and I was working in staging, but it's all just really funny.
I think some of them as well, they go on there and it's just, they go to these things to flaunt what they, you know, do they really need a house that size that costs them that kind of money? Like, some of the ones, certainly on Selling Sunset, there was a guy who was trying to sell a house for, I think it was 75 million. And sure, nobody wanted to buy it. It was basically on a motorway. You should watch it. Definitely watch it. You'll get a kick out of watching that whole show, and there's plenty of series there, so I think you should get your teeth into that.
And absolutely, and like, some of the houses we worked on were more, like, not just a few million, but you know, they were more realistic. You know, there would probably be a dream home for anyone I know and myself. But you know, manageable. You know,
so you weren't selling a little terraced house. Put it that way.
No, we weren't selling. No, I'm definitely not. I was selling like very million-dollar homes. But like, obviously, at the end of the day, it's all relative. America is a very different culture in terms of, particularly LA, it's very much image-based. So it is very like, your status is based on your house in a lot of cases. Not everyone, not the people I was friends with, but you know, there's a lot of that going on.
So. And were you working around the clock, Natasha? Because I certainly in those shows, they seem to be like day and night.
I swear in my life, I worked Christmas Day. I was dropping off candles to clients on Christmas Day. And then I remember when I was actually one day when I was distributing some of my own candles. I had a team, but obviously, you know, you chip in and you help. I remember going, the trauma, it's bringing it back, you know, Christmas Day, like bringing, I think I delivered like 100 candles on Christmas Day.
Oh no.
All my family were like, and look, it's not bad, you're talking to the client, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, look, a job is a job, do you know what I mean? And it was only one part of it, there was a lot of glamorous sides to it.
You're not shoveling poo.
No, exactly. But you know, even if you were, I'm very like, work is work. I have a real work ethic. But at the end of the day, I was really lonely. I missed my family. It's so important to me. I was so sad that day. And I remember like some people can be quite rude, you know, like as if you're interrupting. So it was a tricky day, a tricky moment. But I would get calls. Like, I might, as an example, my dad and sister and niece came over to see me. Didn't see them for the whole trip. And my dad was so upset because, you know, he's old school. Yeah. But yeah, like at the end of the day, it is what it is. That's what happens. Yeah. With that kind of a
and
job.
Were the commissions amazing though? Do you remember the first sale that you made and the feeling that
I
you got?
I didn't make it. So I'm saying this one. I was on a team. So unfortunately, that's why I came home, because at the point where I had to decide, I decided to come back because I was part of a team. And then, you know, it's all hierarchy there. So unfortunately, I didn't get it, but they're amazing. Like, they're
really, like, you could buy a house on the commission alone. Like,
yeah, you would literally, I think I was saying to someone, I can't remember exactly, but I feel like it's 2.5%. So the goal would be to be a seller's agent and the buyer's agent. And you would get double commission. That's what everyone's goal was. It was really competitive. Or to partner with someone. So you get it up to 5%. And as you can imagine, you see it on, I think they do the calculations on Selling Sunset. Yeah. They show you how they do the sales and stuff. So it is that. Like, that's not a lie. Like, a lot of the features that you see on that applies to whatever you're doing over there. So it's so competitive. But you know, at the end of the day, what would happen would be like any office or any job, the person, I worked for a team, for a lady, and for example, she'd have to pay all the staff. Like, that was the salary for the year. You might not, like, not everyone gets as many as they do on the
TV
show.
So you might not get a salary. It's all based on...
No, there's no salary. You don't get paid.
You don't get paid.
You don't get paid. So that's why it's really competitive. So there's such an edge to it. So it was so stressful.
It's so hard. We all watch you go, I could do that. I could do... It's so hard.
But I think it's just one of those things. And I do think that's why the episode I saw it gets so catty. Because, and they're also trying to upkeep a certain lifestyle. You know, that way there's a lot of that going on as well. But thankfully the team I work for wasn't like that. But that was my decision to move home, was that it would have taken, I said this to them recently, probably say 4 or 5 years to set up my own team, which would basically meaning I'd pay everyone. So even if I got $500,000 or whatever you get, you're still kind of, your out costs are quite high. So you have to be moving in the really like 5, 10, 20 million, you know, to be really worth your while. Like it's a really tricky
And did the
job.
Irish, did the Irish connection help you at all though? Because the Irish accent, do you know that they love that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I look like, because like my family are part Italian, so I look kind of, I don't look Irish, you know.
So
then I look
so
more
you're
like,
Italian when you want to be, and then you're Irish when you want to be.
100%. And when there's rugby or anything on, I'm like, obviously Irish first, but when Italy's on, I'm like, yay, and jumping on that. But yeah, basically, absolutely. And I just think Irish people are just very down to earth and hardworking, and they can always crack a joke. Like, I kind of forgot, like I missed it so much. Like every other culture is so funny in their own way. Like there's no right or wrong, you know, ways to be. But we do have our own different type of banter and our own different dialect here. And until you go particularly that far away, do not realise like how much you miss it. But I do think we can get ourselves out of every situation, and like the charm, I definitely think I closed a lot of deals, you know, like with that. Just being able, and also just kind of gauging the moment. Like I'd be in a house and people would be having a divorce and they'd be screaming at each other, and like it's so intense. My boss would be like, oh, this is all normal, and I'm like so Irish going like Dougal and Father Ted go, ah. It's just like, you know, Dougal the eyes, I'm like, I don't know what to say. trying to hide, like I'm like swallow me up here, but it's just very normal, you know, and that's the type of sale.
It's a whole different world, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, Natasha, you're going to be a mentor as well on the Climate Challenge, which is coming to Virgin Media Telly. Is that kind of top secret at the moment? Or are you able to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, it's top secret insofar as the other mentors haven't been revealed, but obviously I will tell everyone because I'm
Well,
really
now you are,
Yeah, and so it's a competition. Basically, it's really exciting. I worked with Al Gore while I was studying real estate over there. I was fortunate enough to work with a few charities, my journalism side. I worked with Al Gore's Climate Reality for a few months, and I got a Climate Reality certificate. So I went to his training and met him, and I've just always been he's incredible. But what I took from it was that you don't have to do everything sustainable. You can just take parts of it, you know, whatever that is that you can do in relation to your life. So what I do as a result is I incorporate sustainability into all of my projects, and it's very important for me to learn about sustainable design. So as a mentor, they've chosen different types of fields, mine being the design field. There's lots of different students, but the four mentors, and the students have to do a competition for us and do a project. So they'll have to do like a design project for me, but it's teaching them how to incorporate climate support. And hopefully by playing it on TV, it teaches everyone, not just teenagers, you know. And it doesn't have to be radical. You know, that's the one thing I think people think about. And myself, I used to get really anxious. Oh God, I'm not doing enough. But you have to live your life. You know, you can't live everything. Some people do, and I'm amazed by that. But it's tricky, you know. It's just about bringing it in on a realistic basis.
Yeah.
And I think the show is going to be really fun.
When is that going to be on, Natasha?
The end of the year, but we're going to start filming, you know, with shows and stuff. It takes a while to get everything the ball rolling, but it's with DCTV partnered with Virgin Media. So once I know dates, I'll obviously let you know, but it's going to be really exciting, and I think it'll be fun to watch. I think it'll be a fun time to watch.
Fab. Well, go out and get the book. It's out next week. It's called The Step-by-Step Guide to Designing and Styling Your Home. That's by Natasha Rocket Divine, and your website is theinteriorsnrd.com. So NRD, Natasha Rocket Divine. That's what that stands for. It's been lovely chatting. I could talk to you all day.
If only I
had a show that went on for 10 hours. But it's been great. And look, will you come into me in the studio maybe later on when the show's on or something like that, and we'll have a good chin
wag? I'd love that. And I love your work, and well done. Thank you so much for everything. I really appreciate
loving
you.
Loving your work. We could air kiss if only it wasn't the radio. Okay. Thanks so much, Natasha.
Take care.
Talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
It is something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.